If you would, open up your Bibles to Mark 12. Mark chapter 12. And we'll pick up our reading in verse 28. Mark 12, beginning in verse 28. One of the scribes came and heard them arguing, and recognizing that he had answered them well, asked him, "What command is first of all?" Jesus answered, "The foremost is, 'Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord, and you shall love the Lord all your mind and with all your strength.' The second is this, 'You shall love your neighbor as yourself.' There is no other commandment that's greater than these." The scribe said to him, "Right, teacher, you have truly stated that he is one, and there is no one else besides him, and to love him with all the heart and with all the understanding and with all the strength, and to love one's neighbor as himself is much more than all burnt offerings and sacrifices." When Jesus saw that he'd answered intelligently, he said to him, "You are not far from the kingdom of God." After that, no one would venture to ask him any more questions. Now, if you would, turn to Matthew 22. Matthew 22. And we'll pick up in verse 34. "But when the Pharisees heard that Jesus had silenced the Sadducees, they gathered themselves together. One of them, a lawyer, asked him, testing him, 'Teacher, which is the great commandment in the law?' And he said to him, 'You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. This is the great and first commandment. The second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments depend the whole law," or hang the whole law, "and the prophets." And so think of this scene. This is the week of Jesus' death. He's in Jerusalem. He's been going in and out of the temple every day teaching. And on this particular occasion, several religious leaders come to him to test him and trap him and try to get him to slip up in answering one of their questions. And so first the Pharisees and the Herodians come, asking about whether it's lawful to pay taxes. Then the Sadducees come, who don't believe in the resurrection, and they're trying to get him to say something about the resurrection and basically sound ridiculous. And then finally, as we just read, this lawyer comes, or this expert in the law comes, and asks the question about the greatest command, or the great command, the first commandment. It's what he's trying to understand. The way the ESV renders this in Mark is, which commandment is most important of all? And so think about that. I mean, we've just been reading through the Torah in the last few months. Excuse me. Been reading through the Torah the last few months, and you think about all the commands, all the statutes, all the ordinances, all the judgment, all those different things we've read. Which one's most important? And so Jesus replied by quoting Deuteronomy 6, 4 through 5. "Hear, O Israel, the Lord is our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength." Right? And you can think back to our study through Deuteronomy, and particularly in context, we can see why that's so important. Yahweh, the Lord, is creator of all things. And he was Israel's redeemer. That makes it that he alone is worthy of worship and devotion. And again, recognizing who he is, he deserves nothing less than a whole life, whole being, love. He deserves nothing less than their all, than our all. And so again, we look at that and we think, truly, this is the great commandment, the greatest commandment, the first commandment, the most important command. And that would have rang true when Jesus said it then, and it rings true for us today, right? We're in a society, in a world where it's really easy to spend hours consuming media, but for some reason we struggle to read our Bible or pray or do some of those things, right? So we need to be anchored in this just as much as they needed to be anchored in this, that this is the first command, this is the great command, this is the most important command. But Jesus didn't stop there, right? Jesus didn't stop there. He continued by quoting Leviticus 19:18, "The second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself." And so the first, he replied, love God. The second, love others. He said, the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. And then Jesus went on to say, on these two commandments depend the whole law and the prophets. That's what he said in Matthew. Mark's account, he just says, there is no other commandment greater than these. I want you to want to think through this, right? Think about the question and think about how Jesus responds to the question, because this is really important. The expert in the law asks about the first commandment, singular, right? He wants to know what's the most important commandment, singular. Jesus replied with the first and second commandment, plural. Jesus would not promote the first without the second. And we can think about lots of reasons why that would be the case, especially when you think about the scribes and the Pharisees and their tendency to emphasize outer forms of piety and devotion to God, but was really a hollow shell and a game to get them to not have to love others, not have to treat others with the love that they've been shown. And so Jesus would not promote the first without the second. Jesus would not separate the first from the second. Again, it's so important that we don't miss this. You cannot love God without loving others. See that in what Jesus is saying here. You cannot love God without loving others. To miss the second commandment is to miss the first commandment, right? We can't just push that aside. Well, that's number two. I'm going to focus on number one. The two go hand in hand. Beyond that, loving others is the primary means by which we manifest our love to God. You look at the entirety of Scripture, whether you're in the Law and the Prophets or whether you're in the New Covenant writings, loving God, loving others is the primary means by which we manifest our love for God. We love God largely by loving others. And you could even say the second command is so much the fulfillment of the first that it can stand alone as the representative command. Go to Matthew 5, if you would. Matthew 5, in context, 5 through 7, is the good news of the kingdom or the Sermon on the Mount. And Jesus says, you are salt, you are light. But he says in verse 17 of chapter 5, don't think I came to abolish or destroy the law and the prophets. I did not come to abolish, but to fulfill. Think about how Jesus identifies his purpose in his ministry and in this particular sermon as bringing about and emphasizing the fulfillment of the law. Now go to chapter 7. And as he sums up what he's just said, as he sums up the body of this sermon, he says in chapter 7, verse 12, therefore in everything treat others the way you want them to treat you, for this is the law and the prophets. It's another way of saying love your neighbor as yourself. But treat others the way you want them to treat you. This is the law and the prophets. Look at Romans 13. Flip to Romans 13 if you would. And look at verse 8. Owe nothing to anyone except to love one another. For he who loves his neighbor has fulfilled the law. For this, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not murder, you shall not steal, you shall not covet. And if there's any other commandment, it is summed up in this saying, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Love does no wrong to a neighbor, therefore love is the fulfillment of the law. Go to Galatians 5. Galatians 5, beginning in verse 13, for you were called to freedom, brethren, only do not turn your freedom into an opportunity for the flesh, but through love serve one another. For the whole law is fulfilled in a word, in the statement, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. And then you can turn here, just listen to what James says in James 2, verse 8. If, however, you are fulfilling the royal law according to Scripture, you shall love your neighbor as yourself, you are doing well. And so you think about what's being said there by Jesus in Matthew 7, by Paul in Romans 13, Galatians 5, and by James in James 2. Again, you cannot love God without loving others. To miss the second is to miss the first. Loving others is the primary means by which we manifest our love for God. We love God largely by loving others. And again, the second is so much the fulfillment of the first that it can stand alone as the single representative command. And do you see how Jesus, how Paul is lifting up love your neighbor as yourself and saying, this is the law and the prophets, without even referencing the first. The first is assumed there, so don't get me wrong that that's being... But see what he's saying there, that this is so much how we live out the first that it can stand alone. It's so easy for us to just trivialize this. Love God, love others. It's easy to reduce this to just some kind of trite thing, some platitude. We just say, yeah, love God, love others. We know this, we get this. Love God, yeah, yeah, yeah. Love your neighbor, yeah, yeah, yeah. You know, like, right, we hear this. This isn't anything new. But understand, this is everything, right? This is what the entirety of Scripture is all about. We can spend our lifetime mining the depths of Scripture, seeking to discover the will of God, and if we finally reach the end of it, we finally dig up every treasure and put it all together and discover the will of God, this is what we'll find. Hear, O Israel, the Lord is our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. The second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. That's what we'll find. We reach the ends of the earth of the Bible, right? Like we search and search and search and we get there. That's what we're going to discover, right? That's what it all adds up to say. That's what it's all about. Love God, love others. Again, listen to just the emphasis, the place. On these two commandments hang the whole law and the prophets. There's no other commandment greater than these. This is the law and the prophets. He who loves his neighbor has fulfilled the law. If there's any other commandment, it's summed up in this saying, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Love is the fulfillment of the law. The whole law is fulfilled in one word. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. I mean, over and over and over again, he says, this is what it's all about. If we miss this, we miss everything. If we read through the Bible over the next 2 years and don't walk away with this point, we've missed it. We've missed what the Bible's all about, what the Scriptures are all about, what God's will is all about. Even more weighty, if we live our lives and these commands are not the central focus of what we do, why we do it, we've missed what life is all about. We've missed who God is, who Christ is, what he created us to do, what he created us to be. When you think about Jesus' response to this lawyer, and then how Paul and James and just Christianity in general picks this up, Jesus, I think I could say this, Jesus provides the hermeneutic for our understanding and application of the Scriptures. It's a fancy word that gets thrown around sometimes. We talk about how to interpret. You want to talk about how to interpret, how to understand the Scriptures? Love God, love others. Here Jesus provides the framework and focus for our entire life. Every decision, every question, every response. Love God, love others together. Love God, love others. This is everything. You think about some of the things that we're meant to juggle and wrestle with. There's the pursuit of holiness. There's the pursuit of unity, right? Whether we're talking about, among others, or just loving the world in general. But think about how it relates to us. Pursuing holiness, pursuing unity. Either on their own is relatively easy. I say relatively easy. I mean, I can pursue holiness, right? and be on my pursuit of holiness, pursuit of God. And the second we disagree about something, just divide because I'm pursuing holiness, right? Or I can pursue unity, pursue oneness, pursue relationship, and then compromise holiness, compromise God's will in some certain areas. And so I can pursue unity. But God wants these things to go together, right? And so that's the challenge we're left with, to work in our hearts, to find a way to humble ourselves and see, knowing God's vision, these things are meant to be together, meant to go together. But again, love God, love others. This is everything. But I want us to just honestly think for a minute. Do we believe this, right? That there is no other commandment greater than these, that on these depend or hang the whole law and the prophets, that all the scripture is summed up in these things. Do we believe this? And do we live like we believe this? Realize this is more than just being nice to people in general, right? I mean, we should be nice to people. We should smile. We should say hi, you know, those kinds of things. But it's more than that. This is a call to love actual people, individual, specific people in sacrificial, generous ways. And so let's just think about it. And it's easy to look at that and just sort of think, yeah, I love others, right? And so just think about others out there just sort of in this general abstract kind of way. But think about the actual relationships God's given you, the actual people God's put in your life already. What about your actual physical neighbors, the people who live next to you, across from you, down the road? Do you know their names? Do you know your neighbors? Do you know their names? Do you pray for them? Do you have them in your home? Do you have more than surface-level conversations with them? And in those opportunities, do you look for, take advantage of opportunities to talk with Jesus about them, with them, excuse me? Or consider your relationship with your coworkers, the people who work next to you and across from you. Do you know their names? Do you pray for them? Do you have them in your home? Do you have more than surface-level conversations with them? Do you look for and take advantage of opportunities to share Jesus with them and talk about Jesus with them? If we're not loving our actual neighbors, right, the people that God has already put in our path, put in our lives, can I say I love my neighbor as myself? If I've got all these opportunities that are right in front of me, can I say I love my neighbor as myself? And can I say that I love the Lord with all my heart, with all my soul, with all my strength? If love my neighbor as myself is the predominant means by which I fulfill love God with your all, can I say I love him with my all if I'm leaving that part out of it? So regardless of how you answered this question, let's do it. Right? We're all learning. We're all growing. We're all, as we come to grips with the scripture and the way of Jesus and who he was and what he did and what he was about, what he teaches us to be, we're always going to find places where we've missed it along the way, or we've lost focus, or we've focused on the wrong things, or any of those things. And so you may be like, I don't know my neighbors who lives down the street, who works with me. I don't know them. I don't really care about them. I've not been praying for them. Don't answer the same question this way next week, right? You know, let's start now. If we aren't doing these kinds of things, if we aren't actually devoting ourselves to love our neighbors as ourselves, let's start. Start getting to know your neighbors. Start praying with or for them. Start having them in your home. Over and over and over again, it's amazing what a meal can do to connect with somebody. Just sitting down across a table with somebody dissolves so many barriers and just creates commonality to build relationship. Start having those real conversations. Start revealing the love of Christ in your words and in your actions. I'm going to read one more passage before I conclude. A lawyer stood up, put him to the test, saying, "Teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life?" He said to him, "What's written in the law? How does it read to you?" He answered, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, with all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself." And he said to him, "You've answered correctly. Do this and you will live." But wishing to justify himself, He said to Jesus, "And who is my neighbor?" Jesus replied and said, "A man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell among robbers. They stripped him and beat him and went away, leaving him half dead. And by chance, a priest was going down on the road. When he saw him, he passed by on the other side. Likewise, a Levite also, when he came to the place and saw him, passed by on the other side. But a Samaritan who was on a journey came upon him, and when he saw him, he felt compassion and came to him and bandaged up his wounds, pouring oil and wine, and put him on his own beast and brought him to the inn and took care of him. On the next day, he took out 2 denarii, 2 days' wages, and gave them to the innkeeper and said, 'Take care of him. Whatever more you spend when I return, I'll repay you.' Which of these three do you think proved to be a neighbor to the man who fell among the robbers?" He said, "The one who showed mercy to him." Then Jesus said to him, "Go and do the same." Let's go to God in prayer. Father, I thank you for your kindness and your love that you've shown us. When we were helpless, when we were your enemies, you have reached out in incredible love, giving your son to die, giving your son to overcome evil, overcome sin and death and Satan, all the things that enslave us and kill us and destroy us, and shown us the most amazing love, the most amazing generosity and sacrifice. Help us all to be transformed by your love. Work in our hearts and in our minds and in our lives. Stir us up to be the people that you've called us to be. Help us to be salt and light in the world around us, in our homes, in our neighborhoods, in our places of work, in the places we shop, and everywhere we go. Help us to be more pure in our devotion to you, to love you with our all, to not leave any place for idols, not to leave any place for things that compete with our affection for you and our devotion to you. You are worthy of everything that we have, and more than that. And help us to love you more and more. And help us to love our neighbor as ourself, to be devoted to this work and not to be passive in it, but to be devoted and intentional about the ways we reach out to others and love others and connect with others, and help us to be ready when a need arises, to be ready to be inconvenienced, to be sacrificial, to be generous, to be overflowing with the compassion that we learn from you. And in this, help us to impact others for your glory and their greater good. Thank you for your patience with us when we struggle and when we fail. Thank you for your mercy. thank you so much for just the tremendous, rich, overwhelming blessing you continually pour out on us in Jesus. In Jesus we pray. Amen. We'll take this opportunity now just to extend an invitation to any who need it. If you need prayers, if you need encouragement, help in any way, if you're ready to put on Christ, become his disciple, repent, be baptized, walk with him, we can help you at this time. If there's anything we can do, please come forward as we stand and sing.
Oh, do not let the word depart, and close thine eyes against the light. Poor sinner, harden not thy heart, be saved, oh, tonight. Oh, why not tonight. Oh, what not tonight? Wilt thou be saved? Then why not tonight? Tomorrow's sun may never rise to bless thy long deluded sight. This is the time, oh then be wise, be saved, oh tonight. Oh why not tonight? Oh why not tonight? Wilt thou be saved? Then why not tonight? Our blessed Lord refuses none who would to him their souls unite. Believe, obey, the work is done. Be saved, oh, tonight. Oh, why not tonight? Oh, why not tonight? Wilt thou be saved? Then why not tonight?
Thank you.